plot twist?
Different.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't have a guest. We're just two girls.
Yes.
Two best friends sitting together and talking about their...
Oh, so
own.
I am your best friend. You finally admit it. Okay, great. I hope we have this on record, everyone.
So, talking about our journey, because the response and the DMs we keep getting...
They've been incredible.
They've been incredible, and people want to know our story. So we thought for the season finale, let's do something different and interview each other.
Yeah.
So this week, we have Haneen as our guest of honor.
Hey.
And we get to find out her story and her journey and how far she's come. And yeah, I'm super excited for you guys to hear this episode.
Yeah, same. And let me know what you think.
Yeah.
So this is Candid with Haneen and Zahra. Too close to me,
too close to me. Wow. I can't believe we're recording our season finale.
I know. That's a full 24 episodes.
I know. Can you believe it?
No, I'm really impressed with us. I have
to say. We've worked hard, and here we are for the last episodes, which we're going to keep it just the family, me and you, where we're going to be
interviewing each other.
Yes.
Because a lot of you asked, and a lot of you have heard our guest stories, and you wanted to hear our own. So we thought, who better to end this season than Zahra and myself?
Yay! I'm actually really nervous.
Now I know. I'm going to be a difficult guest.
I know. Now I know how like they feel. So for today's episode, we're going to be focusing on you, Haneen, because I know your story is incredible.
Is it though?
Yes. And I'm sure everyone would love to hear about your journey.
Oh, thank you.
So I'm going to be interviewing you. This is going to be fun. I want all the juicy
ask away.
Okay, so why don't you tell us about yourself?
In 30 seconds or less.
In 30 seconds or less.
Let me see. I'm Haneen. I'm the co-host of this podcast.
Yes.
I've been in Dubai all my life. I'm the eldest of three kids. I own a salon. I'm originally Palestinian Jordanian, but I've been in Dubai forever now, since before Sheikh Zayed Road became Sheikh Zayed Road. It was a teeny road. So I've been here for a long time, and you know, that's it. I'm also a Cancer and not a vegetarian.
She is not a vegetarian, let me tell you. But tell us about like your journey. I mean, you've done more than that. I mean, that is already incredible. But you've also been a beauty editor. You're an amazing beauty influencer. You're one of the OGs. So tell us more about that.
I mean, I guess I always had an interest in fashion and beauty. It was something I've always had since I was a kid. I knew I never wanted to go into something like engineering or medicine. Mm. Okay, maybe medicine because it was glamorous. But like now I know it's not. So I always loved that. I always loved seeing my mom put on makeup in the morning, like her, like you know the cords with the jacket with the what do you call them, the shoulder pads and the skirt that goes with it. So it was always like she was always well put together, and I think I found that as a kid very fascinating. And so I just took that with me growing up. And when I went to university, there was no such thing as fashion and beauty. No, nobody studied makeup. It wasn't done. Mm. And, you know, coming from an academic family, it was expected that you would go to university and get a degree. Spoiler alert, did not. I dropped out to assist in photo shoots because that was just the world I wanted to be in. So I started assisting photographers. And originally, that's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be a photographer. And then I realized on set that, no, I wanted to do fashion and beauty more than operate the camera, basically. Sorry, photographers. I know you do more than that. but I wasn't so fascinated by the camera itself. I was fascinated by all the prep that goes into creating that final image you see. So I did that for a while. I started my own blog several times on WordPress and Typepad and Blogspot. Rest in peace, most of these websites. And that was at the beginning of people like creating blogs, and I didn't know that you could email brands for photos. So I'd just go to the mall and take pictures of like clothes and take them home and like crop them and post them online. And it was a different time. It was a time where you did this because you loved it so much. And it was never a viable career option back then. It was literally like, okay, but what's your real career?
Yeah.
So after that, I started mostly styling. And I had gigs with different magazines. And I eventually worked my way to becoming a beauty and fashion editor for Marie Claire Arabia. But then I kind of wanted to do my own thing. I wanted to write about the things that I wanted to write. And then I left and kind of did my own thing, my Instagram thing. And that's when social media became a career option. That was not that many years ago when it became, it could become a source of income. This could become a career. So I did that for a while. And now I own my own beauty salon, which is a dream come true because I always wanted like one destination where you could just go get dolled up and walk out and feel like $1 million. And I am the co-host of this wonderful podcast with my wonderful other co-host, Sarah. So I'm very happy about that. So, you know, I've always been in beauty and fashion in a way.
But I like that you tried so many different things and you figured out, like you said you wanted to be a photographer. You tried it, you're like, no, it's not for me. You wanted to do this, you're like, no, it's not for me. And I think that's so important to do.
Yeah.
Some people think once you choose your path, that's it. You can't
change.
And you can't like pivot your way to something else. So that's really good. So when you joined Marie Claire, was it hard leaving?
Yeah, of course. The perks of being a magazine editor are incredible. You get invited to everything. You know, you get so many perks of just like being first row at everything, getting the latest in everything, the respect you have. Of course, it's addictive, and anyone who tells you otherwise is lying. But at the same time, there's also a price you pay for being in a magazine. There is a lot of guidelines that you have to adhere to. You can't, it's not like a YOLO free spirit, write whatever you want kind of situation, which I don't want to say I'm nonconformist because that's just obnoxious, but I found it really hard to, you know, draw within the lines. Mm. So I wanted to do my own thing. I wanted to write about whatever I wanted to write about.
And did you ever think, this isn't the move, I should have stayed, or like...
Oh, all the time. Yeah. I still think it sometimes today, and then I remember the deadlines, and I'm like, no, I did the right thing.
Yeah, it's not easy moving away. It's also stable, having that stable...
Of course.
...income and
job. Of course. End of the month, you know, like clockwork, you get your salary. You know, if there's an event in town, you know you're going to be invited. It's not like, oh, am I going to get an invite? Am I relevant enough still? No, you know you're going to be there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, of course, you know, every once in a while when I'm having a stressful day with my, you know, my team, or if I'm working on a solo project and I'm like, oh, what did I do? I should have stayed in a 9-to-5 or a 9-to-9 when you're in a magazine. But, yeah.
Yeah.
I think about it all the time. I'm like, why did I leave? But I'm happy. I'm actually... achieved a lot more than I would have if I just stayed, just because of certain perks and not following what I really wanted to do.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think journalism has changed so much since then. It's really not the same anymore.
Yeah, of course. We've talked about it so many times the podcast. And so it many has times. Really changed.
Yeah, it really has. It's true. But I think it's impressive that, you know, in this day and age, anyone can just create content and become a media outlet.
Yeah,
on their own accord, I guess. And it's interesting to see that children now see this as a life path, which is amazing. Because I always say you don't need to work hard; you just need to work smart. So if you have something you're passionate about, who says you can't go for it?
Yeah,
if you know how to, you know, work it out properly.
I mean, as OGs, I feel like we paved the path.
I know, we're so retro. We've had this for so many years.
We made this happen.
Do you ever have a Hotmail account?
Oh my God, yeah. That was my first account. I never had Yahoo though.
No, me neither. That's just boomer.
Yeah, that's a bit too much. So tell me, you also do makeup and you're sitting in front of me right now with incredible makeup. Your eyeshadow is just wow. How do you do that? But how is it trying to juggle all of that? Like, you know, being a beauty influencer and running a very successful salon called Snob on Old Wessel Road.
Shameless plug.
No, it's not a shameless plug. It's actually such a great place, and I'm not biased at all. I really, the team, the place, everything, you just really took over and made it into one of the best salons in the UAE, I feel. But how do you juggle everything?
Honestly, I don't. if I'm focusing on one of them, then the other one has to take a backseat. I'm not very good at multitasking anyway. I get overwhelmed pretty fast. So if something is coming up where it's a project for Instagram or it's a couple of like episodes that we have to record for the podcast, then something else has to take a backseat, whether that's personal, whether that's career-wise. I've realized after this many years of being on this earth that I am crap at multitasking. Mm-hmm. I cannot do it. I get overwhelmed and then I get anxious and then you know what that cycle is like. So I try to take one thing at a time. So I'll try to, you know, finish that task and close that chapter and then move on to the next one. Otherwise, I won't do anything.
And does that affect you in a different way?
Of course, because you feel guilty. You're like, all of these other people are getting ish done all the time. You know, why can I not do it?
So how do you handle that? How do you do it?
I eat, which is not a healthy way of handling it. But I feel frustrated. I feel sometimes like really angry at myself. Like, oh, I should do more. I should like take on more. Not in the way you do it.
That's for another day.
That's for next episode. But why am I not cramming in more things during the day? Like, oh, so I'm not going to the gym, but I also have to go to the salon, but I also have to cook my own food, but then I also have to, you know, edit some pictures for Instagram, but then I have to also take, you know, content for next week, and I have to email back, and then I have to go to an event, and at the same time, I have to have time to spend with my family.
Yeah.
It's a lot, and it can get overwhelming. I know it sounds like first world problems, but you know, unfortunately, that's where we live in, or fortunately. So that's just the kind of set of problems we have to deal with. And I guess this was the one year where I started drawing boundaries and saying, it's okay if you don't get things done. Your sanity and your well-being is the most important. This can wait another day. So if it makes you miserable, it makes you stressed, it's just not worth it anymore.
Wow, that's really good. Really, boundaries is so important.
It is. It really is.
But it's so difficult.
Yeah,
of course. Putting those boundaries in place.
Of course, especially if, you know, a lot of people around you are used to you not having boundaries and you just saying yes to everything, or you taking on more and more. And then one day you go like, no, enough is enough. And they're all like, what? You have boundaries?
Then you become the bad guy.
Yeah, you become the bad guy.
She said no. Oh, no.
Yeah.
How dare she?
Which is like, okay, whatever. This is just me now. Like, I just say no to things now.
That's good.
Yeah.
So I know you are divorced.
Yes.
And it was a rough time.
Yes.
How did you do all this while going through a divorce? Because that's a lot, again, to handle.
You just have to take the time to process that kind of thing and let yourself be sad and let yourself cry and let yourself feel every range of emotion there is, from failure to anger to everything in between, to guilt to, you know, anyone who's listening to this who's been divorced probably understands what I'm talking about, but there's a lot of different waves that come in. And you just have to let yourself feel that, and then you have to realize you only have yourself and you can only rely on yourself. So you have to get yourself up, standing on your own two feet, and move forward, because you can't just wallow in sadness forever. Especially if that person's already moved on and is very happy and you're feeling super salty about it, that's actually great motivation fuel, to be honest. I know it's a bit petty, but just being honest, being candid.
But no, but that's the drive you need. Everyone has a different type of drive to get them to where they need to go.
So, you don't want to be the partner that's just not happy and not doing well. So it starts with that. But then you realize, okay, I'm doing this for myself, which is great. That actually feels nice, you know, like having cried in X many days, or, you know, I'm back to seeing my friends, or I actually feel great about myself again. And these little like micro achievements, after a while, build up, and you look back and you're like, okay, I've come a long way. I've gotten this far, which is great. But divorce is never easy. And it plays with your self-confidence and your self-worth a lot.
And do you think divorce changed you in any way?
100%.
Yeah.
I mean, it's taken me a long time to come back to my self-confidence and self-value after my divorce. That was it was brutal, because it came pretty much out of nowhere.
Yeah. But look at you. You're thriving.
Yes, 30 thriving and whatever that quote.
30 flirty and thriving. How did you not know that from the beautiful movie, 13 going on 30?
Oh, yeah. That was a great movie.
No, but you are. I mean, look at you. You know, after you divorce, you move back to Dubai.
Yeah.
And now you run a successful salon, you're an incredible beauty influencer, you have this incredible podcast.
Oh, thanks.
You're doing so well. So that's really
I have
good.
An incredible partner, I have amazing friends, so I'm yeah. very happy. I'm in a great place. I know it sounds like, oh, I'm so balanced, I have everything in order, but honestly, when you sit and like take a deep breath and think about it, I'm very blessed in many ways.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing. We forget about all the good things that has happened to us because yeah. we always focus on the bad. So like you're having a great day and then something small happens and you're like, oh, my life is like horrible.
Yeah, like your jeans don't zip up and you're like, this is the end of the world. Like that's it. I'm awful. My health is deteriorating. I'm not a size zero anymore. Yeah. This is it. I'm going to be miserable for the rest of the week. And then when I sit with someone and then I have to recount all of the good things that happened to me, you realize actually, no, it's fine.
Yeah.
Eat that cupcake. Like, you're fine. Everything else is going so well that you can take a moment and just appreciate the good things.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
That's how we should yeah. That's how everyone should think. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah.
What else should I ask?
I don't know. It's up to you.
You've said everything. Like, your answers are responding to all the questions I want
sorry.
To ask.
Sorry I'm too efficient for you.
So, I don't know how long it's been. I don't want to keep it too short. Oh, it's Rania. Yeah.
20 something minutes.
Okay, what else can I ask you?
Whatever you want. You want to ask about weight, mental health, self-esteem,
yeah, okay.
whatever you want.
Okay.
Business, whatever you feel like you want to ask me.
Okay.
Whatever you think is like juicy.
Okay. So, okay, well, you're doing great, but because I know you so well, so personally, there are times and days where you're not doing so well.
Yeah.
So tell us about that. Like what are you going through and how are you coming out of it? Because from someone that's viewing you from the outside, you've got everything under control. Everything's looking great. But as we all know, it's all smoke and mirrors sometimes for some people.
Absolutely.
I mean, it is for me and I'm sure it is for you. So how do you handle all that? Like how do you go about your day putting on a brave face?
I don't always. If I take a couple of days and disappear off Instagram, it's because I'm feeling so bad that I can't even fake content for Instagram. I'm in this hole, which anyone who's ever been through a rough time mentally, you know the hole. Mm. You're there and you're like, I can't climb out. I feel horrible.
Yeah.
I've had my battle with anxiety. I've had my battle with depression. It's awful, but you know what? It's getting to a point in society where it's more acceptable to talk about things. And that just makes it easier for everyone to deal with it because you don't feel like a circus freak anymore.
Yeah.
And it's not, does it make you crazy? Mm-hmm. I still remember when saying you had a mental health issue made you crazy, which is, it's awful, but that's how it was until a few years ago that you were unstable. There was something wrong with you. And now it's just okay. You can talk about it and you can seek help. And if you're listening to this podcast and you don't feel great and you haven't felt great for a while, please, I urge you, do go out and seek help. Go see someone. Go see a professional. Whether you need to go down the medical route or you need to go down the therapy route or whatever it is, just do something for yourself because, you know, you'll just end up spiraling worse and worse and worse. And you don't want to do that because there's always a way out.
Yeah. Yeah, but that first step is always the hardest, isn't
it? It is.
But I think, yeah, discussing things like this helps the person realize they're not alone. And there are ways to, you know, come out of it.
Yeah.
It'll be difficult, but it's doable. And eventually, like, look at
you,
you know.
Of course. Just, like, just reach out and surround yourself with people who don't judge you.
Yeah.
And people who love you and support you regardless. And if you don't have these people and everyone around you is a douche, that's also fine. You can have a therapist. You can have online therapists. You can have any form of therapy you think is right is also okay.
Yeah.
Just do something for yourself.
Yeah, I think just take the first step. It's hard, but yeah, you get there. Whether that's writing it down as well. You can be your own therapist in a way.
Yeah, you love journaling. I find that writing it and then if I read it again, I just go back to that place. So I find it really hard.
But you're not supposed to read it again. That's the whole point.
But
it's like a brain dump. You just dump it on the paper.
And then what, you burn the paper?
No, just leave it. You can either get rid of it.
How do you stop the FOMO from like going back and reading what you wrote?
Oh, I wouldn't want to read what I wrote. Oh, no.
So that's the secret. You're not supposed to
read
your journal.
Yeah, you're just supposed to like, it's just letting go. You know, if burning it is a thing for you, then do it. That's fine, but it's just there
pyromaniac.
Just to get it out of your system and
Maybe I will do like a monthly burn. I'll just write a journal every month and just burn it at the end of the month.
If that's going to help you, do it. Just don't burn the house down.
No, it's just in the garden.
So I want to know about how it is running a salon. Because I know a lot of people that are into beauty, that's like one of their goals, I'm assuming. Having a salon or like running a salon is not easy. You have how many employees do you have? Something like 20? Yeah, that's incredible. So how is it running a salon and everything else that you do?
Look, it's I think the hardest part about running a salon is not the actual salon, it's the human element. Mm. So between clients and employees, that's where all the tough decisions are made. Mm. You have to understand that as well. In a salon, people come to have their own personal wind down time. So they come and they bring all their problems with them. They come, they bring all their emotions, they bring their issues, they bring whatever they're upset about. And usually they take it out on whoever's in the salon. It's not okay, but it happens more often than you think. So then you have to kind of deal with that and diffuse that situation. And that's hard, especially when you have your own issues going on and you're getting yelled at by someone through no fault of your own.
Yeah.
But you also have 20 people that you have to ensure their happiness and their well-being and their motivation. And then on top of all of that, you have to also ensure that you're making money, because otherwise how else are you going to keep your business afloat?
So
profitability, but at the same time treating everyone ethically and giving an excellent standard of service. It's a very tricky formula to master. Mm. Hopefully I'm getting there, but it's not easy, because you know that little Venn diagram of like cheap, fast, and what is it called, good, or whatever it is, and you can't have all three at the same time. You have to pick two. So it's just something you have to, as a business owner, whatever your business might be, I think it's something that you need to sit down and think about. What do you want it to be? Do you want it to be profitable but not the best, or do you want it to be the best but maybe make a little bit more less profit? How important are your employees' well-being to you? Do you just want it to be like a, you know, just a standard run business, or do you want to give them a little bit of extra, you know, well-being advantages, or pay them a little bit better wage, or whatever it might be? It's a formula, and you just have to kind of tweak it until you're happy with how it is. So yeah, not easy, but it's the human element that's the most difficult.
Yeah, it's a service business as well.
Of course,
it's very difficult. But you're doing well.
Thank you.
And I'm really proud of everything you've done.
Thank you.
Accomplished.
Thank you.
I've known you for a very long time, but we've gotten close the past 5 years, I think. I've seen the change, and I'm really, really proud of you.
Oh, thank you. That's really sweet.
And I'm so honored to be doing this podcast with you.
Aww, I'm really glad I have all this on record so you can't roast me later and say I don't like you.
I'm in a good mood today, so take advantage.
I'm taking it. Tell me more.
But yeah, I know we've worked really hard. And we started this as like, hey, let's just do it. We've been talking about it for so long, and it actually has been doing really well. And I can't wait to do season two.
Yes. So many big things coming.
Yeah. It's going to be exciting.
Amazing.
But I know you have so much more to say, and we'll have more times to say things.
Season finale of season two.
Yeah.
Update.
But it's time for you to interview me now. It's not all about you, Hanin.
All right. So see you in the next episode where we're going to talk about Zahra. Drum roll.
No, but thank you so much. And to bigger and better things in 2022.